sun rises, hugs, dark chocolate, being generous, children's laughter, and mangoes. I love mangoes. This is my list. Everybody should have a list. Everyone needs a list of those things that sustain and comfort when they forget, question, and doubt the goodness of God. When I doubt, and I do doubt, I turn to my list. Only a good God would cause a new day to begin with such radiant beauty. Only a good God would design children so that their laughter bubbles joy. And only a good God would create mangoes. Mangoes. Themes of comfort and sustenance are woven into the scriptures chosen for today, but they are what I like to refer to as a meanwhile back at the ranch lectionary. Meaning, we can only understand today's biblical readings in the light of what has happened recently elsewhere. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Jesus has ascended. Thursday was the feast of the ascension, and as the story is told in Luke, then Jesus led his disciples as far out as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Today's scriptures are read under the shadow of feeling like you have been left behind, abandoned. Abandonment is one of those archetypal fears deep-seated in all of us. Truly, life doesn't have to throw much at us before we want to raise up our hands in despair and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, God has left the building." A scary diagnosis, job loss, relationship problems, the death of a loved one, money woes, and even the daily assault of following the news can cause one to question God's good providence, plan, and presence. Sometimes an entire nation can be left wondering, my God, why have you forsaken me? The people of Israel spent their entire ancient history being overrun by one conqueror after the other. When God's people gathered for worship and sang psalms like Psalm 97, they were reminded that despite all appearances to the contrary, God is in charge. The earth rejoices and declares God's goodness, and then the people respond by adding their voices in thanksgiving for God. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name. In a very real sense, Paul and Silas do exactly what the concluding verse of Psalm 97 invites. Despite having been beaten and jailed, Paul and Silas rejoice with song and prayer. Not only does their singing and prayer connect them to God, but their rejoicing also links them with their community of faith. Just like our community here at St. John's, ancient Christian communities centered on worship. Paul and Silas rejoiced, for they knew they had not been abandoned, not by God and not by their community. For a time, I served as a chaplain in the trauma center at MedStar Washington Hospital Center. The hospital sat on the edge of an area that at the time was plagued by terrible gang violence. It was not at all uncommon to find both the ER and the trauma center just slammed with gunshot and stabbing victims when rival gangs went on the rampage. One afternoon, I happened to be in the trauma center when an ambulance arrived carrying a young man with multiple gunshots. The police were waiting to arrest him, as he was suspected of having killed another young man. As they pulled him into the bay, one of the police officers asked if I wanted to talk to him before they arrested him. Chaplains were not allowed to talk to those who have been arrested until they have given a formal statement. The officer said, "He's got no priors. He's really scared." The boy could not have been more than 15. He was wild-eyed and smeared with blood and dirt. I introduced myself and asked if he would like me to say a prayer. And he shook his head no. I gently touched him on the shoulder in an act of silent prayer and was about to walk away when he said, "Can you sing Jesus Loves Me?" I used to sing that at church with my grandma. I can't remember how it go. I started to sing and his face softened and tears began to roll down his cheeks. My own tears dropped on his chest. When I finished singing, I asked if I could call his grandmother. "No," he said, "she dead. But I know she with me." I am told by those who were there that the ground had barely stopped convulsing after the terrible earthquake that struck Haiti in 2010, when sounds of singing and prayer rose above the dust and devastation. God will not leave us comfortless, whether we have to sing or eat mangoes to remember. How many of you have ever had someone pray aloud for you? An informal Facebook survey, which some of you may have seen on my Facebook page, I asked how that experience makes people feel. Well, the answers ranged from awesome to comforted to creepy. There was a consistent theme of humility and vulnerability. Not the most comfortable of human emotions. Perhaps, perhaps this is why we have a tendency to turn our reading from John's Gospel into a to-do list instead of reading the passage as Jesus' prayer for us. We are so obviously not in control when we listen to others pray for us. They, not we, are the ones doing the asking, and God, not us, is the one answering the prayer. If Jesus was teaching his disciples, and by extension us, we could strive to meet his expectations and we would have a mission. Having a checklist to accomplish is so much easier to manage than an experience as intimate as being the subject of another's prayer. Our gospel lesson is taken from a part of John's gospel known as the farewell discourse. Biblical scholars call the verses we just read the high priestly prayer, so called because Jesus intercedes for us as a priest would. In his prayer, Jesus envisions a community of believers that begins with his disciples and continues through to the end of time. Jesus prays that we, all of us, will be one as he and the Father are one. This is not a call for evangelism and ecumenism, as wonderful as those things are. This is a prayer that we will all know the peace and comfort of the sustaining love found inside the Trinity. Jesus prays that God will draw us into that love that God and Jesus share, that we will be one in God. Sometimes life is hard. We can easily forget that we are loved beyond our wildest imagining. God never promised that life would be without pain or loss or suffering. God never promised that life would be fair. God did promise that we would never, ever be alone in those places. God promised not to abandon us. God will not leave us comfortless. Whether we have to sing or eat mangoes to remember.